Our first lesson this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. Our second lesson for this morning is John chapter 20, 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Happy Easter, everyone. This certainly isn't the way I had planned to celebrate it, but since I have a runny nose and a cough, and just Saturday morning tested positive for COVID, I am have to be with you virtually. I will miss seeing the people, miss hearing the choirs in person, but I do have that sense of Easter joy, because when else do we celebrate the fact that even out of the worst of times, the love of God in Jesus Christ is triumphant in our lives? Now, we all have Easter memories out of our past. The Reverend Susan Sparks has written about her grandmother. Her grandmother loved to cook. One thing she could not cook was biscuits. She was just not a big believer in things like baking soda or baking powder. And on those ominous days when she would try to make biscuits, she would open the door of her stove and pull out what looked like a tray of toasty hot shot puts. Reverend Sparks' uncle used to joke that if you dropped those biscuits on the floor, they would make enough noise to wake the dead. So they became known as resurrection biscuits. Reverend Sparks continues, "I think her biscuits offer an important Easter message. Without baking powder, without that key ingredient, those biscuits became heavy and flat. So too, life without the resurrection, life without Christ, can be heavy and flat." And I think this is a critical message for us and for our world today. Some tend to think of the Easter message as a message for the end of life and hope for a departed loved one. I think we need the Easter message right now, though, because many of us know that death can come in many ways long before the end of life. How many people do we know who are walking this earth physically alive, but dead of spirit. Maybe you are one of them, at least occasionally. How easily life can beat us down. Life at times feels like a meme I saw about COVID. Whatever doesn't kill you mutates and tries again. That's easy to celebrate the resurrection of the body on this glorious Easter Sunday. But what about the resurrection of the spirit? What about tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off at 6 a.m. and our spirits sink? Where is the resurrection then? Where is the resurrection when we work night and day in a thankless job and yet find ourselves deeper and deeper behind financially? Where is the resurrection when a child gets caught in an ugly cycle of drugs or alcohol and we feel there is nothing we can do other than watch them slip away? Where is the resurrection when we wake up one morning and realize that nothing matters to us anymore, that we are left alone to negotiate in a world that does not honor its old values? Where is the resurrection then? It's not just resurrection after death that we're talking about. It's resurrection during life also. Like biscuits without baking powder, life without the resurrection can be heavy and flat. But today I say we bring that missing ingredient back into our lives. Our Easter story from John is a familiar one. Mary goes to the tomb while it is still dark. She finds a stone rolled away and Jesus' body is missing. Just then she turned around and Jesus was standing there, but she didn't recognize him at first. "Woman, why are you crying? Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him." "Mary," said Jesus. And the second he says her name, Mary realizes that this stranger standing before her was the risen Christ. "Rabboni, my teacher," she says to Jesus. Mary recognized the living Christ. She recognized that life force in her midst. And it's exactly the same for us. We have the same spirit of the risen Christ right in front of us. We have a life force in our midst. And that's a missing ingredient in many lives, and one we can reclaim. My grandparents retired to Tucson, Arizona, and when the Schramm boys were in junior high, each year my grandparents would have one of us fly out alone and stay with them over the February Mud Week break, as it was called. The desert was dry and brown most years we were there, but one year had been a wetter month than normal. The otherwise bleak sand and rocks of the desert were covered with tiny wildflowers. Gold, blazing star shapes, poppies, verbena, evening primrose blanketed the desert landscape. Those little seeds had remained dormant, hidden under rocks and in sand and cracks and crevices, waiting, hoping for rain, that missing ingredient that brought them back to life. And when the rain came, the flowers bloomed in the desert. It was a brilliant symbol of renewal, of life from what had appeared to be lifeless. And just like those little dormant seeds, there is still life in us all. We just need to find that missing ingredient to bring it back, and that ingredient is Jesus. The Saturday before my very first Easter sermon, I was trying to work off some of my nerves, so I called home. And Dad was still active in ministry himself at that point, and he knew about Easter pressures. "Are you ready for the big service?" he asked. I tentatively said, "I guess. I'm pretty nervous, though." He replied, "You'll be fine. One thing I've learned, just get out of the way and let Jesus do the work. He'll rise again, even if you stutter during your sermon." And I've never forgotten those words, for they are not only great advice for a sermon, they are great advice for life. The best thing we can do in life at times is to get out of the way and let Jesus do his work. There are ways we can block the Spirit. Things like anger, negativity, fear, and doubt. Things that shut us down emotionally, weigh us down. Things that keep that key ingredient of life and Spirit from working in our hearts. Life has many great truths. My grandfather, for instance, said, "Never slap a man chewing tobacco." But here's a deeper human truth, that we all have a spirit that yearns for joy and lightness, a spirit that yearns to soar. Life can get in the way, key ingredients can go missing, and over time, spirits can sink, become flat and heavy and bleak. For everyone out there who feels that their dreams have been destroyed, their hopes dashed, their spirits crushed, here is the good news of Easter morning. The risen Christ can take our flat, heavy hearts and put back that key ingredient so that our spirits are not stuck to the ground, so that our spirits are not dictated by human pain or loss or disappointment alone, so that our spirits are not mired in a tomb. Easter brings each of us another chance, a chance to see that life force in our midst, a chance to recognize the risen Christ is right in front of us. It's a chance to start again. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for bringing us to another glorious Easter morning. We arrive here from many varied places, some of us from a place of rejoicing, some from a place of feeling helpless, some from a mix. But whatever our station this morning, Lord, give us the power to reclaim that missing ingredient of joy within our lives. Help us feel and see the resurrected Christ in spirit in our midst. Amen.